Hey, everybody. Today on the Charlie Kirk Show, we have a great conversation here with Pierre Wilson from Blexit.com, a project of Turning Point USA. Really great. Listen to the whole thing. It's Blexit.com, B-L-E-X-I-T.com, Blexit.com. I think you'll really enjoy it. On the website, you'll see Blexit, powered by Turning Point USA, focuses on shifting culture through live events, thoughtful grassroots organizing, and inspiring educational initiatives. Blexit stands for the Black Exit from the Victimhood Mentality. If you guys want to donate to Blexit, you could do so at Blexit.com. That is Blexit.com. You're going to love this conversation. Email us, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com, and subscribe to our podcast. Open up your podcast application and type in Charlie Kirk Show and get involved with Blexit. That is the main call to action here. Listen to it in its entirety. It's a wonderful, empowering, uplifting conversation. There very well might be something significant, long-lasting, happening in Black America. Email me, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. Buckle up, everybody. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
Noble Gold Investments is the official gold sponsor of the Charlie Kirk Show, a company that specializes in gold IRAs and physical delivery of precious metals. Learn how you could protect your wealth with Noble Gold Investments at NobleGoldInvestments.com. That is NobleGoldInvestments.com. It's where I buy all of my gold. Go to NobleGoldInvestments.com. Pierre, how you doing?
I'm great, Charlie. It's great to be on. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, you're doing a great job, man. I just want to say, he's running Blexit, and we have brought our forces together.
We have.
And give us an update from the front line. Tell us the story of Blexit. Tell us what's going on.
Yeah, well, you know, Blexit, I'll start with, Blexit had a record-breaking year last year, and a lot of that has to do with the merger with Turning Point USA. So for those who don't know, obviously, Blexit was originally founded by Candace and Brandon. I think Turning Point had a big hand in that. I feel like it was meant when we came together, because you guys were a big part of the launch. So for the last couple of years, Blexit has been building a ground game. We have 47 chapters, 46 states plus D.C. We've had national events, our liberation tours. We're on college campuses. But last year, I'll tell you what, when we merged with Turning Point, everything that we had been building over the last couple of years just took off. We had a record number of grassroots activism days. I think we're right around 1,000 last year, which is incredible, considering, again, a lot of our ground team is volunteers. A lot of people don't know that. These people are passionate about the cause and saving this country, that they volunteer their time to help carry out the mission locally. We had two liberation shows. They tried to cancel us in Brooklyn.
Yeah, we should talk about that. Yeah,
they tried to cancel us, and we didn't let them. We had two successful ones last year, and then we, for the first time, we really got onto HBCUs, historically Black colleges and universities. I remember when we first launched that initiative to try to get into HBCUs, they said, oh, it's don't do that. It's like a lion's den. You'll never get on HBCUs. And here we are. We now have three clubs. We did six stops. We have three clubs. We're going to do some more stops this year. We're out there, Charlie. We're trying to move the needle in Black America.
Well, you guys are. And the public opinion polling shows that Blexit is making a big difference. And let's just look at the landscape, you know, not to criticize any other groups, but I don't think there are any other efforts like this with full-time staff and a sense of urgency.
Yeah.
Is there anything that exists like this on the right? Anything close?
There's nothing close. I remember when I first, you know, when Candace first hired me and I started to look at, you know, some of the other organizations out there who focused in minority America. And, you know, I was inspired by some of them and I was like, oh, it'd be great if Blexit can get that big one day. I want to push to be bigger than that, actually. But I looked up to them, and I'm not going to name any names, and I'm not here to throw any shade on those groups, but I'll say this. I look at it now, and we're leading the way.
Yes, you are, and you deserve a lot of credit for that.
Thank you. I thank God, too, because where my life was before and the journey I went on is all credit to Christ, for sure. But I'll say, you know, you look at some of these groups, I think what we see is it's like a celebration of Black conservatism. They just celebrate themselves. So you go to a banquet with them 1 year. You realize the next year you're going to a banquet, you see the same people. The next year you see the same people. And I think what's special about Blexit is year over year, you're going to see so many new faces involved in the movement. Even our leadership conference, you compare pictures from this one to the one from last year to the one before that. You're going to see a bunch of new faces in those pictures. So, you know, we pride ourselves on spending more time with people who disagree with us than spending time with people who do. And to me, that's what we should be doing. We're truly trying to move the needle. So I think Blegs is unique. You know, we're very unique in what we do. And I think we have organizations now calling us and trying to poach our people, you know, because I think the cream of the crop is with Blegs and Turning Point. So.
Oh, it is. And it's Blexit.com if you guys want to support. And this merger between Turning Point USA, just talk about that, Pierre. We were able to bring in, you know, graphic design support, you know, just any sort of reinforcements. Yeah. And I think it's been this amazing force multiplier now that it's over a year.
Yeah.
Just about around a year, we now are seeing the success.
Yeah.
It's been remarkable.
Well, we had such a small staff before Turning Point, merging with Turning Point, all the resources that Turning Point has. It's really just, like I said, everything that we were doing, it just went to the next level. Being able to get graphic designs, people don't understand, just having flyers for our chapters to be able to have material right away, all those things matter. You know, you don't want to send someone out there with, you know, a couple handful of flyers and expect them to reach people. You want them to be able to be equipped with resources and just having the support, even the faith team, NFP, events. I mean, everything you've built here, Charlie, I think is incredible, and it's we've benefited from it, no doubt.
Well, it's a beautiful mix. And, you know, Candace and Brandon, we all have a shared story, and, you know, so just kind of all made sense.
Yeah.
And
sister organizations is kind of like we were already a one big family.
Yeah,
I think,
exactly. And what I've been super happy with, and you have a great reputation around here at Turning Point, how great everyone is working together, and it's a shared mission, and we have some really fun stuff coming up over the summer. Mm-hmm. And so, Pierre, I want to ask you about the front lines. Again, you are having conversations that are difficult.
Yeah.
And one of the reasons I would think that Black America has been so monolithically to the left is that these conversations have been happening.
No.
But the value system of Black America presents a potential opportunity to do better.
Yeah.
When it become family values, pro-life, faith, belief in God, hard work, all these things, that a little conversation can move the dial a little bit. And so let me just start here because there's so much to dive into here. Give us the status report.
Yeah.
What are you hearing from the front lines?
So what I think people don't know is that, you know, you look at so many different polls. Black America is one of the most faith-based groups in the country. I mean, many of them were raised in the church. They have a lot of conservative values. I think we've lost our way for a lot of different reasons, which we can get into. But what we're finding is that it's not so much that they aren't conservative. It's that they haven't, like you said earlier, people haven't really had these conversations from this perspective. So it's not that they are against conservatism. They're against the values that we stand for. It's that no one took the time to explain it this way. And then just to kind of paint the picture for people out there, you know, you go to school, your teachers, your professors, they're all left-wing. A lot of them are left-wing. They're teaching them one way. Unfortunately, family members, mom, dad, they probably learned it from their grandparents. They're now they're saying the same thing in the household. You turn on the radio, you watch your favorite sport, LeBron James, whoever, they're saying left-wing talking points.
Yes.
So in Black America, these people are surrounded by the same voices. They're surrounded by the same talking points. And we're coming in, we're providing a different perspective, a unique way to look at it. And we're just challenging them to think. We're not telling them how to think, challenging them to think. And that's the difference between us and the left. We don't have to control them. We don't have to force anything down their throats. By challenging them to think through their own research, we are finding that a lot of them are realizing they're conservative. We did, I guess you can call it a test. We had a sheet, and it just listed values, right, that are associated with conservatives and associated with liberals. We didn't put any party labels, no candidates, nothing on it. Tarla, I'm not even kidding you. Over 90% of the time, these people were identified with more conservative values than liberal ones when there was no labels, no nothing attached to it. And that lets you know that these people in Black America have just been led astray. And I think the way the left got in there is through culture. So Blexit uses culture to get into Black America. So if you come to like a Blexit event, for example, a liberation show, you'll notice it's very upbeat, right? You're going to see bright colors. You're probably going to have some performers. You know, the speeches are going to be upbeat. We're not going to be there. I don't mind three-piece suits, by the way, guys, but you're not going to just be in a hotel room with a three-piece suit and someone just preaching at you.
Yeah, that's not going to work.
Yeah, it's going to be very vibrant, but you're going to hear messages in a way that you hadn't heard it before.
Yes.
And we are finding that people are receptive to these messages. And just to give you another example, obviously on college campuses, you know, to have an event on a campus, the club needs to typically invite you. So when we didn't have a club, we couldn't get in front of these students. So we found a creative way to do it. For those who don't know, HBCUs are really, their homecomings are huge deals. Like their homecomings are, brings out thousands of people, alumni, students, you name it. So I said, you know what, we're going to go in during homecoming. We're going to bring our team. We're going to bring a camera. We're going to bring our influencer. We're going to get in front of these students. And when we got in front of these students, they agreed with so much of what we were saying. I think we have a lot of video content. I think you saw some of it.
Yep.
These people agreeing. So it wasn't a matter of whether we knew they were going to agree or not. It was a matter of getting in front of them and having these conversations. And now that we're able to have these conversations, we're seeing the needle move.
People should know, and this is where the Turning Point intersection works, you're focused on HBCUs. There's 104 HBCUs in the country.
Yeah.
It's a big population,
yeah.
Right? And some are small, some are pretty big. Mm. And some of the best content I've seen, you know, sending Savannah out there and others, is really mixing it up sometimes at these HBCUs. And I want to talk more about that, because part of what is necessary and what Candace has taught us and what Brandon has taught us, sometimes you have to make the difficult arguments.
Yes.
And sometimes you have to lean into it.
Yeah.
But, you know, outside of all of what people think, I actually find that Black America is more willing to have these conversations than white college-educated liberals.
Mm-hmm. I would agree.
Hey, everybody. Charlie Kirk here. It's time to put some prep in your step with Good Ranchers New Year New Meat Special. Delicious, safe, and convenient meal prep is just one box away. 2024 is your year to ditch the mystery of the meat aisle and get the American meat delivered instead. Subscribe to any box and they'll add over 2 pounds of pre-trimmed, better than organic chicken breasts to your order for free. Not once, not twice, but every order for a year. Let me tell you, Good Ranchers chicken will change what you know about chicken. It's pasture raised, given zero antibiotics or vaccines, and is so tender and juicy you won't believe it's the same meat you've been eating most of your life. Simply go to GoodRanchers.com, pick your box, use promo code CHARLIE, and enjoy $189 of free chicken in 2024, plus $20 off your first order. Stock your fridge with easy-to-prepare, clean, delicious meat all year long. Not sure which box to use? Choose from? That's okay. Go to GoodRanchers.com, promo code CHARLIE. That is GoodRanchers.com, promo code CHARLIE. American meat delivered. GoodRanchers.com, promo code CHARLIE. Let's have you tell your story.
Well, you want the long version? Because
it's an amazing story. You've had family difficulties with your political views, ideological views. Just kind of give us a little bit of a story there.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you this. So there was three main points that I think led me to where I'm at today, and I'll walk through them really quickly. You know, obviously, I grew up in a typical Black American household. You know, I think a lot of Black Americans would agree with me that the victimhood mentality was taught, whether our parents meant it or not. It was actually taught in our household. And when people are like, what do you mean by that, Pierre? So I was told from an early age that this country wasn't built for people like me, people who were Black, right? That I would have to work 10 times harder than my white counterparts. I would have to watch out for the police. It was all these things that were taught to me from a very young age that, you know, you're a child, you're a kid, you're going to grow up already thinking like, man, like white people have it better than me, you know? So that's why I said, whether they meant to teach me that way or not, these are things that young Black kids are learning sometimes in their household, right? And so I had a very victim mentality growing up. And there were some key moments where I realized something was different about me, though. And one was when I was in school. I remember my teacher, she gave us an assignment. And she said, you know, you're not old enough to vote, but if you could vote for George W. Bush or Al Gore, who would you choose? I want you to research, decide who would you choose? Who would you vote for? And I remember, you know, picking Bush. I wasn't worried about party labels at the time. I just liked the guy. I was like, oh, this guy seems pretty good. I like what he stands for over Gore. Wrote the paper. I was proud of it. I was like, I'm going to get a good grade on this paper. And I showed my mom. I was all proud to show my mom. And she went down like halfway through the first page. And immediately she's like, absolutely not. You are not turning in this paper. Republicans are racist. They don't support Black people. You're not going to turn this paper in. I went back. I rewrote the paper. Mom is always right, right? I'm like, she's right. I don't know what I'm talking about. My mom knows. Rewrote the paper. Something felt weird. I'll fast forward to the second moment. I was in college. I attended a historically Black college university for 3 years before graduating elsewhere, University of Maryland Eastern Shore. And then I transferred after my junior year. But when I was there, the election was between Obama and Hillary at the time, the primary. And people don't notice in Black America. In Black America, the election is the primary, because whoever comes out of the Democratic side is just who you just line up behind. So it's not the Republican. It's the primary is the real election for Black America. So it was between Obama and Hillary. And I remember, you know, the mic was going around the room. Mind you, HBCU, 99% of the room is Black. They're like, Obama, Obama. The mic gets to me and I'm saying, I said, I don't know who I'm voting for yet. I said, I don't know much about Obama. And forgive me, conservative audience, but I was like, I know a little bit about Clinton, you know, so I know she helped out her husband's administration. She's also a senator. I'm still trying to decide which one I want to vote for. Charlie, the entire room got dead silent. The people in front of me turned around and looked at me, gave me a death stare. The people, I could feel the eyes on the back of my neck from the people behind me. And the young lady got the mic behind me and she goes, how can you as a black man not know who you're going to vote for? And I'm looking at her and she's looking at me because I'm like, there must be more to what she's about to say. No, he's black. I'm black. That was that. I should be voting for Obama. So I'm like, man, what if a white person walked in here and said, I'm voting for Clinton because she's white?
Exactly.
What would we feel about that? So I was like, something's weird about this. But I kept going. It wasn't enough to wake me up yet. I'm sorry. But the third and final moment was Candace Owens. You know, I came across a YouTube video. This is early Candace Owens days. She was like Red Pill Black.
Yeah.
And before, I think the Turning Point hired her.
Yeah, that's right. We were just getting started.
Yeah. So this was like before she became really Candace. And she was speaking about the single motherhood rate in Black America, Black on Black crime, all these things in a way that I'd never heard it before. And man, it was like, she has to be lying. There's no way she's telling the truth. I'm writing stuff down. Charlie, I have like a notebook. I'm like, oh, I'm going to fact check all this.
So you had never heard any of that
before? Not the way she was saying it. Not at all. Not at all. And I was like, she's lying. I'm going to fact check her. I don't know her, but I'm going to fact check her. And I'm researching all these things. She's right. She's right. Every single point she was right about. And I'm laughing about it today, but in the moment, it was mind-boggling. I remember feeling lonely, like confused, lost. I was like, who am I? I don't even know who I am anymore. It really was a shocker to me to know that I felt like my entire history was a lie. You know, everything I've been told was a lie. And I didn't know who to call. I was like, I can't call my mom. I can't call my dad. They're going to think I'm crazy. I don't have friends that think like this, so I can't call them. And it was a very lonely feeling. And I remember just getting on my knees, just praying like, Lord, I don't know what you're trying to reveal to me right now, but I need your guidance. So fast forward a couple months, I put my first Facebook status up. Sounds like a small thing, was a very big thing. I spoke about my conservative values and I got torn apart in my Facebook status. I had people saying I was being paid. They're like, oh, you must be paid by the white man now. And people calling me names, people I've known for years. These people know my character. They know who I am. And they were just that quick on a dime attacking me. So for a lot of people, that'll make them want to stop. That's frightening. That's like, oh my gosh, I don't want to speak up again. For me, it did the opposite. And that's what got me fired up about Blexit.
So, but you dug in.
I dug in. I did. I was like, man, I'm not going to back down. It made me madder. It made me more fired up to do this. And at the time, Blexit just got started. I think they did a show in Los Angeles. You know,
I think I was there. YBLS.
Yeah. And I said, man, this needs to be brought to the ground. You know, I love what they're doing, but this message needs to be spread everywhere. So at the time, and thank God, you know, Candace, I encourage people not to do exactly what I did because she honestly probably could have sued me for doing this. But at the time, I like printed material off the Blexit site, created my own flyers, got two friends who I'd met through some conservative groups, and we started door knocking. We were door knocking. We were trying to get
so
people to come out.
You became a true believer, man.
A true, like I was fired up. So I'm still fired up today, but I was so fired up. I was like, no way.
But was it just like, I've been lied to. I need to set my people free.
It was that, and it was also how quickly I got attacked. I knew, so I was like, man, this is control. There's no way that people who have known me my entire life, people who I've helped throughout my life, are now so quickly attacking me on a dime because of my conservative beliefs. This is control if I've ever seen it. Like, there's no way. You know my character. You know who I am. You know I'm not crazy. But yet you're calling me crazy because I have conservative beliefs. Like, that's a problem to me, you know, and no one should feel like this ever again. So that's what also inspired me to want to create a space where people, it would be normal to see black conservatives. It would be normal to see this around, right? And so when we started door knocking, we were planning for our first event. Our first event only had about three of us there. Well, six counting and three of us. It didn't go so great. But by the time we got to our third event, 50 people showed up. And we were really building something. So we created a social media page. We started highlighting our work. Candace got wind of it. I think I should frame that DM. I tell my wife all the time that was a DM that changed my life. She DM'd me and she's like, hey, let's jump on a call. I really love what, you know, you guys are doing in North Carolina. Jump on a call. Fast forward to today. You know, she hired me, I think, 3 months after that call. Again, 47 chapters, 46 states plus D.C. We're doing liberation shows around the country. We're on HBCUs.
It is the premier black outreach program.
Yeah.
It's the only, really,
yeah,
for conservative values.
Yeah.
How's your family treat you? If you're okay talking about that?
No, I'm totally okay with it. My family knows. We've had these conversations, so they know I'm gonna be honest about it. So my mom when I first had a conversation with my mom, she didn't take it so well. About the final straw, I think, was when she saw my support for Trump, and my mom and I actually stopped talking for about 2 years. And I was, the embarrassment to the family because of my support for Trump. I think that was way too far for her.
How'd you handle that? I mean,
I would be lying to you, Charlie, if I told you it didn't hurt. It's my mother. So it definitely hurt to hear that you're an embarrassment to the family. Mind you, I'm not out there doing drugs. I'm not out here gangbanging. I'm a college grad. I mean, I'm not doing anything crazy with my life where I would feel like I'm an embarrassment. I just simply have conservative beliefs, and I'm supporting the conservative candidate.
Can I ask a provocative question?
Sure.
In Black America, would be embracing of Trump looked more negatively than gangbanging at times? Not in your family, but generally.
One would think, I guess. I don't know. At this point,
you just made me think about it.
Yeah.
I mean, because being that estranged from the family is...
Yeah.
You would think that you'd be in federal prison or something.
You would think. I mean, my father was a little more receptive. He wasn't 100% on board at first. He was kind of like, he had a lot of questions. But what my father did was he went and he researched. He started researching some of the things I was telling him. He started looking up, and he called me about a week later. He's like, you know, Pia, my dad is always like, Pia. I'm like, Pierre, Dad, you name me. He's like, you know, Pia, you're right about some stuff, you know. And
what in particular was the data like that? Where you like, hold on a second.
I think like one of the things we discussed a lot was like the party switch. We discussed that. We discussed the values of where each side stood. We discussed how they use racism almost every election cycle, like clockwork. We discussed who was the party of slavery. I mean, things that I thought my father knew,
yes.
Knew that he didn't really know, or at least didn't think about. You know, so very, really basic things. And, you know, him looking these things up for him was mind boggling. He didn't know. He didn't know the Democrats were the party of the KKK.
Yes,
he didn't know that either.
Right. And segregation.
He didn't. These are things that, you know, you would think he would have known. But somehow the left has rewritten history especially in black
yes.
America. They have rewritten history, and things that we know, they've shared a different version of it. So I think that he was really receptive. I know he was very receptive to at least doing his own research, which is all I could ask for, because that's what I did. I never try to tell people what to think. I just want them to think for themselves.
Yes. Are you ready to lose weight but not sure where to start? I understand. I was right where you are 2 years ago. Let me tell you why I chose the PhD Weight Loss and Nutrition Program. First, Dr. Ashley Lucas has her PhD in chronic disease and sports nutrition. Her program is based on years of research and is science-based. Second, the PhD program starts in nutrition. There is so much more. They know that 90% of permanent change comes from the mind, and they work on eliminating the reason you gained this weight in the first place. There's no shortcuts, pills, or injections, just solid, science-based nutrition and behavior change. And finally, most importantly, I lost 30 pounds. Look, they're amazing. If you want to lose weight, you got to go to myphdweightloss.com. I was just texting with Dr. Ashley Lucas today. If you're ready to lose weight for the last time, call 864-644-1900. Go online at myphdweightloss.com. Do what I did and what hundreds of my listeners have done and call today, 864-644-1900. I recommend their program. Dr. Ashley Lucas has her PhD in chronic disease and sports nutrition. Her program is based on years of research and is science-based. Second, the PhD program starts in nutrition, but it's so much more. Go to myphdweightloss.com, myphdweightloss.com. Call 864-644-1900. I lost over 30 pounds. Dr. Ashley Lucas, great American. Check it out, myphdweightloss.com. So you had to navigate the family situation. Let me kind of just ask it this way. When, let's just say these arguments take place, because they're probably more like arguments,
they
right?
They can be intense, yes.
Can you walk us through just kind of some you've seen or experienced? I think they're largely helpful and healthy, but what are the topics? What are the issues? What are the points that are persuasive for, let's just say, a 60-year-old Black American who has just said, I'm a Democrat, I'm on the left, and that's the way it is?
I think it's important to ask them why. Right away, because you realize pretty quickly that it's an emotional. For what we found is most of this is an emotional response of what they think they're like. Maybe the Republicans are racist, or it's something that doesn't have anything to do with actual policy or how the Democrats have actually helped Black America. Right? There's some virtue signaling. We always see this. Right? Kamala, I think the last election she was out on HBCU campus in her Chucks and Pearls and dancing with the AKAs. Right? It's like, oh, it must be an election cycle. Right? It's something that makes them think that the Democrats somehow care more about black people than the right does. But when you really sit down and you really dig into why most, and I'm confident in saying this, most cannot really name anything that they feel like the Democrats have actually done to improve black America. But let's say that they have. Let's say they have. We always make the case that, hey, local elections matter if just as much, if not more, than national elections. Yes. In every predominantly black city, who's in control? Who's in control? So if you think that your life is somehow not going well, how long has the Democrat Party controlled, you know?
Yeah, just so everyone knows, and I just want to make sure everyone understands.
Yeah.
Every city council seat in Chicago, every city council seat in Detroit, every city council seat in Cleveland, every city council seat in Philadelphia, and every city council seat in Baltimore.
Yep.
Is Democrat.
Yet they're complaining about the way that their life is. And
it's
the people
one party
controlling
rule.
It
is
one
complete
party rule.
One party rule.
Yep. And then they have no comeback really for that, because a lot of people don't even think about it from that perspective. They look at it like, oh, well, Republicans, okay, Republicans don't have a say in your city, most likely. They can't even, they're trying, they would love to have a chance to prove to you that they can do better than Democrats. We keep voting for the same thing. So I think when you really dig in, a lot of them don't even know why they're actually Democrats, besides some type of emotional response that probably centers around racism or support for police or something that's an emotional reaction. And that's what the left has understood. Again, you notice the left never really talks policy positions. They don't want that debate with black conservatives. It's always like, well, they're racist. It was Trump going to send you back to Africa.
Yeah, so it doesn't faze me, as you well know. We did a whole show on MLK and the whole thing. And you, just so everyone knows, I called Pierre up before it. Yeah. You called up. We're like, hey, man, we're doing this. And you were like,
I was trying. Oh, yeah. I loved it, though. I loved
it. Well,
I love that you were bold, and I.
That's very sweet.
There's so many black conservative heroes. Like, there's some. MLK is not. He's not God.
He gets his own national holiday, higher approval rating than Jesus, right? Yeah. What about Frederick Douglass?
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
George Washington Carver. There's so many amazing people, black icons that I think are far more deserving. I'm all for a federal holiday for Frederick Douglass's birthday. Yeah. For the record. An unbelievable guy, loved the country, super eloquent, former slave. Yeah. But it doesn't faze me. But our audience is paralyzed by being called a racist.
Yeah.
Can you riff on that? How should one respond? Because that is the scarlet letter of American politics.
Yeah. I think the number one thing is to don't answer to anything that doesn't belong to you. So if you're not a racist, you know you're not a racist, don't own that. Don't just, I feel like people sometimes think, because we have one thing about Blegs is we have people from every background that are also a part of this mission.
Yes. Like,
we're not BLM where it's just going to be black people only. We want everyone involved in this. We want everyone in this fight to save the country. Everyone has a voice. Everyone has a say. So I think we have to look at it from Americans, right? We're all Americans. At the end of the day, it's not about black or white.
We want the best Americans. For every person.
We want the best for every single person. So don't answer to something that doesn't belong to you. Be bold about that. If you're not a racist, no, I'm not. You know what I mean? Number one. But also, again, questioning them, to me, is what we don't do enough. We're so quick to be ready for our talking points and to say what we want to say back, but we don't ask enough questions. Why am I a racist? Tell me what I've done, what I've said,
that's what
the
I
policy
do.
Stands.
I get aggressive.
Tell me why I'm a racist.
Yeah, the burden of proof is on you.
Right.
Because you
made the accusation.
You're throwing around this insane accusation.
Yep.
So show me the evidence.
Yeah.
And then also, I think it's also they have an inability to define what racism is,
right.
And so for someone who lived in Jim Crow, that was never a question.
Right.
But they'll say that, hey, you know, if you listen to rap music, you're a racist. If you culturally appropriate,
mm-hmm.
you're a racist. It gets overused.
Yeah,
and it dilutes the term.
If everything's racist, nothing's racist. If everyone's racist and no one's, I mean, it's being used so freely nowadays that it's hard. I mean, the real racists are probably somewhere like, we got cover now because, you know, everyone's being called a racist. Is it racist to believe that to say that we believe in you, that you don't need government assistance? We believe that you can actually do it for yourself. We want you to stand on your own 2 feet and take care of your family. We believe in you. We believe you can accomplish the American dream. How is that racist? Because that's what conservatives are saying. We're saying that we believe that you can do it on your own better than any government program.
Yes, and I also think the framing sometimes is wrong, which is it shouldn't always – it can be partially, hey, what has the Republican Party or Democrat Party done for me? It also should be, what can we do for
what
ourselves?
Can you do? Right.
Exactly. That that's is far more push. Empowering. Yes, that's I know right. That's what Blexit pushes, right? Because that's the only way to eventually get to material success,
right.
not just always be asked, you know, demanding a bailout or demanding.
Which keeps you stagnant and it doesn't really help you
grow. A prisoner
almost,
right?
It's
a prisoner.
Control. Yeah.
So I want to ask what the issue set, the issues that I see that are turning heads is this mass migration moving of third worlders into Black America.
Yeah.
Are you seeing and hearing on the ground that that is creating chatter and potential political realignment?
I think it's, I mean, you see what's going on in New York and the frustration up there. We are seeing that on the ground for sure because the group that it affects the most is Black Americans, right? I think they do studies and all these things. After every study, it's always Black Americans that are affected the most.
Always.
Always. Every single time. And the fact that you have the president going out there saying there's no issue, the border's safe, secure, fine, people aren't seeing that. They see the truth of what's happening out there. So I think that is resonating. I do. And I think also just in general, the two presidencies, I know we were upset about 2020, but in a way, the way I look back on it, I think it almost needed to happen because now people are seeing a direct contrast between what it was like under President Trump versus what it's like under President Biden.
Yes.
Biden. And it's a huge difference. It's a huge difference.
Yeah. And the other, to Donald Trump's credit, he did try to reach out to Black America. I think he could do even more. There's this fear, Pierre, you know, there's fear on both sides. White America has this fear that if they go and talk to an all-Black audience, that they're going to be booed and called racist.
Yeah.
I don't, I'll speak anywhere. I would love to speak in an HBCU. I think it would be hilarious.
We need to bring you, Charlie.
Well, because
we'll bring you.
Because I think our ideas are colorblind. It doesn't matter, right?
Absolutely.
Who's to say that a white guy can't speak in an HBCU?
Absolutely.
And it's about values. It's about commonality. And I know you see it that way, which is refreshing.
This isn't BLM. There's no little safe Black spaces over here.
No, which, by the way, which is quasi-apartheid and segregation at its core. But what other issue set? The trans issue. I can't imagine that going after young Black kids.
That's been a huge one.
Can you riff on that?
Yeah, so that's been a huge one. That's one thing. And when we were doing content on the HBCUs and we spoke to some of the alumni as well, that topic came up in every single one of them. They were against it. I mean, You're mutilating children at this point, you know, and these kids are still finding themselves. I saw on my way here on the plane, there was a young girl and she looked like a tomboy. And I didn't for one second think, oh, that must be someone that wants to transition into a boy. She's just probably going through a tomboy phase. Kids have these moments. So in Black America, it goes back to something I said earlier. Many of them were raised in the church. Okay. This is unacceptable. This is unacceptable to sit here and say now that my son is a girl because he picked up a Barbie doll. No, we just let him know, hey, that's typically a girl's toy.
Yes.
You know, you don't just say, oh my gosh, all of a sudden I need surgery.
Is this sparking lively debate in Black America? I can't imagine that all of a sudden, like white liberal academic abstract medical behavior.
I think it's been forced by white liberals on Black America. I really don't think Black America
is embracing. I see it as an opportunity to push back against it, right?
They tied it to the Black Lives Matter movement. That's really kind of how it started.
Because they're all run by Black lesbians.
Yes.
Yep. Can you talk about that? People forget that it was all Black lesbians.
Yeah. Who wanted to see the destruction of the nuclear family.
It was one of their pillars until they removed it from the website.
Yep. They got a lot of heat from that and they removed it from the website. So, you know, I think people are also seeing Black Lives Matter for what it is. You get a lot of credit for that, Candace. I mean, people that have brought attention to the scam that the organization is.
Yes.
They adopted a name that resonated well with Black America, but the actual group and their beliefs, when people started digging in, they realized it was they're frauds.
Against the family, against the
family unit.
Yes.
Nothing that they advocated for was going to bring about prosperity in Black America. Everything was about the destruction and separation of Black America from everyone else, that we should be treated better, we should be put on this pedestal. They weren't even arguing for equality.
No.
They wanted everything to, you saw the video of white people bowing down to Black people. It made me cringe. This is what they celebrated, that video. They were like, that's how it should be.
And how is that? I mean, I know you agree, but unity or healing or reconciliation, if that's really your goal, I mean, you want some sort of strange quasi-religious penance where white people have to take a knee?
It's ridiculous, Charles. I mean,
it's kind of sinister.
I don't even
honestly
like seeing the Black sections on Netflix and Hulu and some of these. I get weirded out about that.
So I get called a racist when I say that. How do you react when you see Black voices on Netflix?
It makes me think of the Black only water fountain or something. Like, is this my section because you're saying this is the Black section? Can I not watch everything else? Or is it that white people people can't watch this. I'm confused now. I don't even know what this means. It's backwards. It's arguing for segregation. It's reverse racism in many ways, right?
Yes.
I was so glad to see this is kind of going off topic, but not really. A Gallup poll came out and it showed 52% of Black Americans agree with the Supreme Court ruling about affirmative action.
This is a game changer, man.
Things are moving in Black America. People are starting to see the truth. We don't need all these things. We don't need the special treatment.
They actually might hold you back.
Yeah.
And that's the argument that Thomas Sowell has made.
Morgan Freeman said it best. He said, if you want to stop talking about racism, he said, if you want racism, then stop talking about it.
I know. Traditional media is crumbling. Why? Because they're hiding something big. People are realizing they're being lied to, left and right, even by institutions they thought they could trust. But you've known the truth all along. You also know that the time to prepare for what's coming is right now. Get started by going to MyPatriotSupply.com. There you'll save $200 on an essential 3-month emergency food kit from My Patriot Supply. Over the years, My Patriot Supply has helped millions of American families prepare for emergencies, and yours should be next. Sealed inside ultra-durable packaging, their delicious meals last up to 25 years in storage and provide over 2,000 calories daily. Eat right when things go wrong with these 3-month emergency food kits from My Patriot Supply. With $200 in savings, you can get enough for each family member. They deserve your protection. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com. Order by 3 p.m. for free day shipping. That is free same-day shipping. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com. So, Pierre, this is just for my own curiosity, because I did hear some objections here. That I'm a white guy, so I'm not allowed to comment on race issues. What is your response when you hear that?
I think, so can Black people not comment on white issues?
What are even white issues, right?
We're human beings, right? That person who's exactly. asking, they're saying there must be Black issues and white issues, so are they also saying that? What are they saying? To me, issues are issues, right? If we're all Americans, we're all here in this country, we're all equal. If they're fighting for equality, then issues. I don't even like Black History Month, right? Black history is American history. So there shouldn't be white issues, black issues, white issues, Asian issues. There's just issues that are facing this country today, and it takes all of us to respond to those issues. So you can comment on whatever you want, Charlie, whatever you want.
Thank you.
Not that you needed my approval.
It's empowering to hear that. But what do you have to say when people were attacking me? They said, Charlie, when you did a factual and analytical take on MLK, you're hurting our chances to win over Black people.
No, I think I would say to those people, that would you rather us lie to you? Would you rather us lead people to the right with a lie? Do you want us to play the game the Democrats are playing? We want to lead with the truth.
The truth will set you free.
I don't recall you saying anything like, you better think this way, right? I think you always challenge people to do their own research as well. You just help them, right? You lead them to the water. They have to decide if they want to drink, right? That's what we do as conservatives, and it's not telling you what to think. We're just telling you to think.
Yes.
And maybe, just maybe, he's not the hero that everyone said he is, right?
Maybe, just right? Just decide for yourself. For anyone of the objections, and again, I'm built for this because we invited this fight because I felt it was important. Yeah. I just listened to the whole episode. Listen to it. Listen to the arguments. Listen to the implications. And asking questions is not racist. And look, there were some good things, obviously. We talked about, right? He was against the Vietnam War. I think that was great. He was very charismatic. He's obviously, you know, a talented writer. All these things. But to get to the place where you're 6 points more popular than Jesus Christ our Lord, I got a problem with that.
And then we can't pretend he's the only one out there either. I mean, if MLK is not the guy we thought he was, does that change anything? There's a lot of other people out here who have done some great work.
Of course.
I think
Dr. Ben Carson is a way better role model for Black America than MLK.
I agree.
Ben Carson is a loyally married Christian man,
and
neurosurgeon, like unbelievable.
Yeah. Yep. I remember reading a book about him even in my younger years before I even went through my red pill journey and thinking this man was great. And I'll also say this about MLK. One of the most troubling things to me, in addition to some of the stances he took, was just, look, I'm a family man. And one of the ways that I look at men is, how are you with your family? And
MLK was not good with his family.
Yeah. And for people who value that, that should be concerning to you, no matter what you think he did that was great or not great.
I totally agree.
Concerning.
I'll repeat that. I think that Dr. Ben Carson is a far more impressive and successful individual to honor with a national federal holiday than MLK. I think I'll stand by that. What would you think if Trump Trump chose him as vice president? What would your reaction to that be?
I think it would be a good pick for many different reasons. And none of the top five is him being black, by the way. I don't want to see color when I'm looking at that. I don't want to do what the left is doing. I totally agree. The best person.
Well, he's unbelievably qualified.
He's unbelievably
color aside,
qualified.
I mean, he was the first ever person to separate conjoined twins at the head. First ever to do it successfully.
Yep.
This guy has literal steady hands. He was, by the way, Dr. Ben Carson was one of the most celebrated people before politics got involved.
Yep.
Like you said, you were aware of him.
I read a book on him. Yep. I read a book on him in my early years. And, you know, for a lot of people, and particularly speaking for minority America, they saw Ben Carson as a hero. He was one person that I think was brought up in school a lot. And it wasn't until he started talking about his conservative beliefs that all of a sudden he's like getting canceled, you know. But I know a lot of people who learned about Ben Carson growing up, and that just tells you the kind of man that he's been throughout his life.
I don't want to get ahead of myself, and I don't want to get too excited because I don't like these big predictions. But if Ben Carson was vice president, would it make it easier to win over black voters?
I think it would.
But it would still be a heavy lift.
It would still be a heavy lift for sure, but I think it would make it easier because representation, whether we like it or not, for many in black American representation—
Is a political reality.
Is a political reality. It 100% is. Part of what we're doing at Blegs is we're trying to get them to a point where they're not looking at that first all the time.
That's
right?
That's the best work you could do.
Yeah, but when we first go in, we are aware that's important to them, right? So for that reason alone, I think it helps. But also, again, just going back to that point I made, many of them heard about the great man that he was before he ever got involved in politics, so it's not far-fetched for them.
So they have a reference point.
He was
not like Trump level, but he was a celebrity in black America. By the way,
Gifted Hands, I think, was the name of the book.
And a movie. Yeah. Earned, deserved. I remember we talked about Ben Carson when I was in 6th or 7th grade, and he was lifted up as a Black History Month civil rights icon. When I was in government school in the suburbs of Chicago, they'd show this guy Ben Carson. They say he's one of the most successful doctors in the country. And now he's hated and vilified by the media, which I think could red pill some people, right?
But he's his demeanor.
Oh, it's so just, godly, isn't
right,
it?
Right.
He acts like Christ does, man.
Yes. And he's also a perfect fit for, that's why he's also a perfect fit for Trump as well.
Well, it's, you know, you have Trump who is, you know, as
he's the star. He's
Baraka, as Curtis Yarvin would say, which is kind of like this overly magnanimous figure.
Yep.
And then calm, cool, and collected Ben Carson.
And I would love to see him in a debate against Kamala, because Ben Carson's incredibly intelligent,
he would wipe the floor
with her without even really raising his voice.
He's wicked smart.
Yeah.
Like, very, very smart. Yeah. In closing, let's talk about 2024, all the work that Blexit is doing. It's Blexit.com, hiring more people, doing more things, Blexit liberation stuff. We're doing leadership conferences, your community events. You guys have a great presence on social media. I should say we, because we're all together now.
Yeah, we're
so
one
just
family.
Brag on Blexit for 2 minutes.
Record-breaking year last year. We're going to do it bigger this year. Right? We have some things, obviously. Can't announce everything yet. I have some meetings, some things that we're going to talk about, but plan on something really big from Blexit this year, I think, that we'll do that may cause the media to lose their mind and pull out their hair. but we'll do more activism days. Our grassroots work, I tell you, is some of our most important work, because we're reaching people. We're going into neighborhoods, Baltimore, Atlanta, you name it, Detroit. We're going into places that I think the conservative side maybe didn't go into much. We're having these conversations. We're having people attend events and become a part of our group. It was a number that we were following the stat. There were 70% of the people that were leaders for Blexit now. This was the first time they had ever been a leader in any organization like this.
And by the way, when I spend time with the Blexit leaders, these are tough folks.
Yeah.
They've been called every name in the book.
Yep.
They are in it for the right reasons, right? It's really remarkable.
Yeah, and we're going to do more liberation shows, too.
Yes.
Ideally, Candace Brandon, different speakers out there. You did a video for our last one, which is great, and we're going to do more of those. We're going to hit these HBCUs hard.
Man, I'll show up at one. If you'll have me.
We will bring you, Charlie. We will bring you. We're excited about what we were able to accomplish last year in these HBCUs, and now we're feeling so confident.
It's huge.
About our ability to be able to break.
Look, I have a heart for the black community. I always have. And it's just been so terrible to see left-wing Marxist, secular, godless leaders and policies destroy what should be a much more vibrant, wealthy, successful part of America.
And if I could say one thing to your audience, I just want to back up what you just said. Charlie, I mean, you and your team have been extremely supportive. I mean, we're now part of this family. I always have to remind myself I'm part of Turning Point to Us. But since the moment we came in, I mean, you guys have been nothing short of supportive. So anybody saying you're racist, anything, I'm telling you right now, you could, that's further from the truth.
Dear God bless you, man. Thanks for saying that. Thanks so much for listening, everybody. Email us as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. Thanks so much for listening. God bless.
For more on many of these stories and news you can trust, go to charliekirk.com.